by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
আলহামদুলিল্লাহি রাব্বিল আলামিন والصلاه والسلام على سيد المرسلين اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاه والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا نور الله Mashallah, viewers of Madinah, welcome to our early morning program from our Bradford studios here in the UK. And today, inshallah, Azza wa Jal will be no different as well. But we begin by giving you a blessing of salutations of sending Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, the intention behind this, the niyyah behind this is that when we become aware of the benefits, then inshallah, we'll become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we become aware of the benefits, hopefully we can remember the benefits and pass these benefits on to others as well, so that inshallah everybody can become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, today's is a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which we are told that Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala narrated, he said that I asked the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I recite Salatul Nabi abundantly. How long shall I recite Salat upon you? Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, as much as you want. I humbly asked 1/4. It was replied, as much as you want. But if you recite more, then it is better for you. I humbly asked 1/2. It was replied, as much as you want. But if you recite more, then it is better for you. And then he said, I will recite Salatul Nabi upon you all the time upon you. And he replied, then this act of yours will suffice your worries and will become the cause of your forgiveness. Allah Akbar. Viewers of the channel, I know it's hard for me to say to you that to recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. But the message here is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that no matter how much Durood e Pak you recite, the more you recite, the better it is for you. And what we should be trying to do is we should try at least put aside some time during the day, be it when we're traveling to work, traveling home from work, waiting for something to happen. You know, we have these times where we can be multitasking, and in today's modern world, everybody wants to be multitasking. They want to be able to do this and this and this at the same time. Then when you're doing this and this and this at the same time, then recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as one of these things. And then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, you'll see the benefit not only in this world, but in the hereafter as well. Like I said, viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and Rise and Shine program starts in one of the most beautiful ways possible. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that every household, every Muslim around the world can start the day in the same way that we start Arise and Shine. And that is in listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that day comes, that Muslims all around the world, myself included, and everybody that's watching, is that we can make a habit of reading the Quran or listening to the Quran on a daily basis. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
كذبت ثمود المرسلين إذ قال لهم أخوهم صالح ألا تتقون
ثمود نے رسولوں کو جھٹلایا جبکہ ان سے ان کے ہم قوم صالح نے فرمایا کیا ڈرتے نہیں
انی لکم رسول امین فاتقوا اللہ واطیعون
بے شک میں تمہارے لیے اللہ کا امانت دار رسول ہوں تو اللہ سے ڈرو اور میرا حکم مانو
وما اسألکم علیہ من اجر ان اجری الا علی رب العالمین
اور میں تم سے کچھ اس پر اجرت نہیں مانگتا میرا اجر تو اسی پر ہے جو سارے جہان کا رب ہے
اَتُتْرَكُونَ فِي مَا هَا هُنَا آمِنِينَ
کیا تم یہاں کی نعمتوں میں چین سے چھوڑ دیے جاؤ گے
فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ وَزُرُوعٍ وَنَخْلٍ طَلْعُهَا هَضِيمٍ
باغوں اور چشموں اور کھیتوں اور کھجوروں میں جن کا شگوفہ نرم و نازک.
وتنحتون من الجبال بیوتا فارہین فاتقوا اللہ واطیعون.
اور پہاڑوں میں سے گھر تراشتے ہو استادی سے، تو اللہ سے ڈرو اور میرا حکم مانو.
ولا تطيعوا امر المسرفين الذين يفسدون في الارض ولا يصلحون.
اور حد سے بڑھنے والوں کے کہنے پر نہ چلو، وہ جو زمین میں فساد پھیلاتے ہیں اور بناؤ نہیں کرتے.
قالوا انما انت من المسحرين.
بولے، تم پر تو جادو ہوا ہے.
ما انت الا بشر مثلنا فأت بآية ان كنت من الصادقين.
تم تو ہم ہی جیسے آدمی ہو، تو کوئی نشانی لاؤ اگر سچے ہو.
قال هذه ناقة لها شرب ولكم شرب يوم معلوم.
فرمایا، یہ ناکہ ہے، ایک دن اس کے پینے کی باری اور ایک معین دن تمہاری باری.
ولا تمسوها بسوء فيأخذكم عذاب يوم عظيم.
اور اسے برائی کے ساتھ نہ چھوو کہ تمہیں بڑے دن کا عذاب آ لے گا.
فعقروها فأصبحوا نادمين.
اس پر انہوں نے اس کی کونچے کاٹ دیں، پھر صبح کو پچھتاتے رہ گئے.
فَأَخَذَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُم مُؤْمِنِينَ.
تو انہیں عذاب نے آ لیا، بے شک اس میں ضرور نشانی ہے اور ان میں بہت مسلمان نہ تھے.
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ.
اور بے شک تمہارا رب ہی عزت والا مہربان ہے.
كذبت قوم لوط المرسلين اذ قال لهم اخوهم لوط الا تتقون.
لوط کی قوم نے رسولوں کو جھٹلایا جبکہ ان سے ان کے ہم قوم لوط نے فرمایا، کیا تم ڈرتے نہیں؟
انی لکم رسول امین فاتقوا اللہ واطیعون.
بے شک میں تمہارے لیے اللہ کا امانت دار رسول ہوں، تو اللہ سے ڈرو اور میرا حکم مانو.
وما اسألكم علیہ من اجر ان اجری الا علی رب العالمین.
اور میں اس پر تم سے کچھ اجرت نہیں مانگتا، میرا اجر تو اسی پر ہے جو سارے جہان کا رب ہے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Do you agree with me, viewers of my channel? The best way to start the day, listening to some verses of Holy Quran or reading them. And how long did that take? What was it? 4 minutes? 5 minutes? You know, Amir al-Sunnat in the Pious Deeds booklet, he advises to read at least 3 verses of the Holy Quran with translation and commentary on a daily basis. And how long would that take? You know, I've mentioned it before, but you know, the geologists, people who study the formation of rocks, they say to you that when water drops on a rock, you know, drop, 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 then eventually that drops of water can make a mark on the rock. Eventually it'll make a dint in the rock. Eventually a point will come where them drops of water, what is it, water? It will make a hole in the rock because of continuously falling the water on the rock. And we see the erosions of rock. In the same way, if 3 verses of the Quran were to fall on your heart on a daily basis, just think what impact it would have on your heart over a time period. We need to make a daily routine and continuously, and not just say, oh, well, I've read the Quran once, I don't need to read it again. You know, that's not true either. You need to continuously read it and continuously update yourself in the same way that your car serviced regularly, you get, you know, your boiler at the home serviced. In the same way, we need our heart serviced. And one of the best ways to service our heart is to continuously read the Quran, continuously understand the words of our Rabb, so that we come to know what Allah Azza wa Jal wants of us. So please make an intention to read or listen to at least 3 verses of the Holy Quran in translation and commentary on a daily basis. It would be brilliant if this could be done as a family, if the whole family could sit down and turn by turn, today it's your turn, today it's your turn, today it's your turn. And one by one, every day, it rotates and that everybody gets the opportunity of listening and everybody gets the opportunity of reciting the Holy Quran. So please make these good intentions. Like I said, today we are talking about the family, the Ahl Bayt of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Husseini family, the fact that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and his family, they were willing to, well, they actually did sacrifice not only their lives, but the lives of all the members of the family on the plains of Karbala. And it's an event that has been recorded throughout history for many, many reasons. And we should not just take this as a story. We should not just take this as a sad event, but we should learn from the events there. Inshallah, today we're going to learn something about the characteristics of the Husseini caravan, the people that were traveling with Imam Hussein, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu in particular, his characteristics, and hopefully can learn something from his life as well. But before we get to that, inshallah, as you know, after the recitation of the Holy Quran, we have a Kalam of the day, inshallah. We're going to go to the Kalam of the day now, and then when we get back, we'll get straight into the topic, inshallah. So please stay tuned with us. Let's go to the Kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Le raza, sab chale madine ko, main na jaun, are khuda na kare, jaano dil ho, shokhirad, sab to madine pahunche, tum nahi chal te raza, sara to saman gaya, mera dil aare meri jaan madine wale, mera dil aare meri jaan madine wale, tujh pe sau jaan se qurban madine wale, tujh pe sau jaan se qurban madine wale, bhar de bhar de mere data meri jholi, bhar de bhar de bhar de mere data meri jholi, bhar de ab na rakh be saro saman madine wale, ab na rakh be saro saman madine wale, phir tamanna phir tamanna e ziyarat ne kiya dil bechain, phir madine ka hai arman madine, phir madine ka hai arman madine wale,
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ ویورز آف مائی چینل, بیوٹیفل کلام اگین, یو نو, سم تھنگ ٹو ریلیکس یو, بٹ آلسو سم تھنگ ٹو ریفلیکٹ آن اینڈ تھنک اباؤٹ. ویورز آف مائی چینل, ایز آئی سیڈ بیفور, یو واچنگ ارائز اینڈ شائن, دی ارلی مارننگ پروگرام فرام دی یو کے ان آور برادفورد اسٹوڈیو, اینڈ وی ٹاک اباؤٹ دی ایونٹ دیٹ ٹک پلیس ان 61 الہجری, ان وچ امام علی مقام سیدنا امام حسین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ واز مارٹرڈ آن دی فیلڈز آف کربلا. ا گریٹ فائٹ on that plane took place in the history of Islam between what was right and what was wrong. And that is the most important part there. And this is also, as we know, it's called the incident of Karbala. In this blessed manners of the Husseini caravan, we can see that they taught the people from then until now that what is right is what is right, and you need to take a firm stand against those that are wrong. and sacrifice, you know, put sacrifices in place for you. And they took this stand against what is wrong, and they not only were willing to, but they actually did sacrifice their lives. If Imam Ali Makan Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu wished, he would have destroyed the followers of Yazid. He had that power to do it. But he granted this favor to the bloodthirsty followers of Yazid despite having this power. And he did not begin the battle, but rather he continued to try to make them understand. And he tried to frighten them from the torment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He tried to make them realize what they were doing wrong from the beginning. He didn't just stop and thought, okay, they're going to be punished. They're going to achieve this punishment. No, he continuously tried to stop them, continue to try to advise them, and continually try to put the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I'm going to relate some of the events that took place on that day where he went out into the battlefield on his horse. And he spoke to the followers of Yazid. He spoke to the army of Yazid, and he tried to advise them and tried to call them to the path of righteousness. He went out on his horse and he said, "O people, listen to me, and do not make haste until I advise you about that which has become my responsibility myself. You will succeed in this matter and you will not be asked any question about me. However, if you do not accept my reason, then listen to this blessed ayat of the Quran." And he gave a verse of the Quran, Surah Yunus, verse 71, the translation of Kanzul Iman. "Muster therefore your designs and gather your accomplices and let not your designs be dubious. Then execute on me and give no respite to me." He then recited another ayat of the Quran, Surah Al-Araf, verse 196. And the translation from Kanzul Iman is, "And verily, my protector is Allah, who sent down the book, the Quran, and he guards the virtuous ones." He then praised Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he said to the followers of Yazid, he said to them, "Consider my family and ponder as to who I am. Do you think it is permissible and correct for you to kill me? Am I not the grandson of your beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Is Sayyidina Shuhada, the chief of the martyrs, i.e. Sayyidina Imam Hamza radiallahu anhu, not the uncle of my father? Is Sayyidina Jafar not my uncle? Don't you get the sayings of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about me and my brother, that both of us are the leaders of the youth of paradise? If you agree to what I say, then listen, verily it is the truth, for by Allah Azza wa Jal, I have not told a lie, since I was aware that Allah Azza wa Jal strongly dislikes lies. If you do not believe what I say, ask Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah, Abu Sa'id, Sa'al bin Zaad, Zahid bin Arkam, Anas bin Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, because they all have heard these virtues about me, the virtues of the Ahlul Bayt, the virtues of the Sunan Karaman, the virtues of Imam Hussein. They've heard all about these virtues, and they heard these virtues from the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala sallam. Isn't there anything in you, in my advice, which can stop you from shedding my blood? Say to them, do you know who I am? Do you know who my grandfather is? Do you know who my uncle is? Do you know who my father is? Do you know what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about me? And you want to come and shed my blood?" Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, then he said, "If you have any doubt in what I have said or about my being the grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so by Allah, there is no other grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the east and the west from amongst any or anyone else except me." By this time, Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu had passed away. So he was the only grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "I am the only one. Go to the east, go to the west. I am the only one. So tell me, do you want to take revenge on me for killing someone amongst you? Or I have wasted your wealth? Or you want wealth in exchange? Or you want retaliation for your wounded people? After all that revenge, do you want from me?" He's saying that, what do you want from me? Have I killed anybody? Have I taken anything? No, I haven't. So why do you want to kill me? And at that point, the accursed people, they remained silent. When no one answered, he, radiallahu ta'ala, said, "Oh, Shabas, oh, Hajar bin Abjar, oh, Qais bin Ashas, oh, Zahid bin Aris, haven't you called me by sending letters?" They sent letters to him and called him. They falsely disclaimed, "We did not do anything like this." Astaghfirullah. Sayyidina Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala, said, "Why not? By Allah, Azza wa Jal, you did like this." He then said, "Oh people, if you do not want to take an oath of allegiance from me, then leave me so that I may go to a safe place." The accursed Qais bin Ashas then said, "Obey the orders of Ibn Zayd, you can be released." Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu then said, "By Allah Azza wa Jal, I will not take the oath of allegiance from him at all. O bondsman of Allah, verily I seek protection of Allah from it and that you stone me to death. I seek protection of Allah from every arrogant person who do not believe in the day of judgment." Allahu Akbar. So he tried to explain to the followers of Yazid that, look, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? I am the grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am the son of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. I am his son. I am the grandson, and there is no other grandsons. If you have any doubt, Then go to the east, go to the west. You'll know, I am that same grandson. Have you not heard about the virtues? Have you not heard about my virtues from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If you have any doubt, then go to these companions, ask them. They will tell you. They've heard directly from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam my virtues. He then went on to say to them, look, what have I done wrong? Have I killed any of you? Have I stolen from any of you? Have I taken the rights of any of you? And they all remained silent. And then he said to them, did you not invite me to come here? And then they lied and said, no, we did not. And they said, if you wish, he said, I will not take the oath of allegiance. He refused. And if he'd taken the oath of allegiance, if he'd taken bayat at the hands, then they would have let him go. But no, for truth, for justice, for haqq, he said, no, I will never take the oath of allegiance. And you see that the accursed followers of Yazid did not act upon this advice. He gave them the advice. He was saying to them, look, if you do listen to me, then you will not be questioned about this day. But if you do not listen to me, and you attack me and you kill me, then you will be held responsible of the events that took place this day. Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, he rejected the comfort of this world. If he'd taken the oath of allegiance, they would have given him a palace, they would have given him everything, and he could have had any wealth he wanted, he could have lived a life of luxury. Him, not only him, but his whole family and his descendants. They could have all had so much wealth. But no, he rejected this. And the question is, why? Why did he reject this? Because he stood for what is right. He did not bow to what is wrong. Whatever is right, he stood for it. He stood for haqq, and he made the ultimate sacrifice. Views of the channel, you know, before we go forward, do we stand for what is right? You know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you see something happening which is wrong, stop it with your hand. If you cannot stop it with your hand, for whatever reason, you don't have the strength, you don't have the courage, then stop it with your tongue. If you cannot stop it with your tongue, then at least in your heart, feel that this is wrong. You know, we have the plains of Karbala, where Imam Hussein and his family stood up for what is right, did not bow to what is wrong, sacrificed their lives, their family life, his own life. And today, forget stopping it with our hands, forget saying that it is wrong. We don't even feel that it's wrong in our hearts. It happens. Everybody's doing it, so what's wrong with it? Everybody's doing this, everybody's doing it, so it's okay, isn't it? If everybody in the world started committing a sin, it doesn't make the sin right. A sin is a sin is a sin, full stop. But what happens is in our mind, we think, well, everybody's doing it, so it's okay if I do it. You know, remember years ago, when here in the UK, the lottery system started and lottery tickets were being done. And what happens is Muslims started buying. And when Muslims started to buy these lottery tickets, everyone thought, well, he's doing it, so it must be okay. Well, he's doing it, so it must be okay. He's doing it, so everybody started to doing it. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't give you an excuse to do it. On the day of judgment, when you are asked, why did you do this? You cannot say, well, he was doing it. It doesn't work like that. As Muslims, acquiring the knowledge of the deen, knowing what is obligatory upon us, knowing what is farad upon us, knowing what we should stay away from, it is obligatory upon us. At a certain age, a child needs to know the faraiz of salah. At a certain age, he needs to know the faraiz of fasting. At a certain age, when he gets to that age where he wants to get married, he knows to know this knowledge. If he wants to do a business, he needs to know this knowledge. There's no excuses. You can say, well, I don't know. But why didn't you know? It's not as if you were living on a desert island and there was nobody there. Yes, okay, if you're living on a desert island and there's nobody there, right, for argument's sake, absolutely nobody there, and you decide to worship your Rabb in whichever way you worship him. But nowadays, knowledge is so readily available. A time was when people would travel hundreds of miles to acquire the knowledge of the deen. Now I have people sitting here in the student, and they're just sitting on the phones now, and they're clicking the phones and they're getting the knowledge of the deen. They got books with them, they're reading the books with them as they were sitting here in the studio. Because knowledge is so easily accessible. And maybe because knowledge is so easily accessible, we don't value the knowledge. There was a time where people would travel hundreds of miles. Not in a plane, not in a super train. Yeah, on horseback or walking. For what? To listen to one hadith. To listen to one hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would travel hundreds of miles. Why? Because they valued that knowledge. Nowadays, we don't value that knowledge. And because we don't value that knowledge, we don't act upon that knowledge. So it's not getting back to the topic. To make this excuse of, well, I didn't know, this doesn't work. And at the same time, you know, we need to develop that faith inside, that iman inside us, that when we do know that something is wrong, at least feel it inside our heart that it's wrong. When you see people committing a sin, when you see people not praying, when you see people not fasting, then at least in your heart, you should feel it, that pain, that, you know, why is this happening? This shouldn't be happening. And then you need to develop that courage inside you to say to him, you know, beta, you know, or respectfully say to the person, you know, it's farad upon you to read your namaz 5 times a day. Please come to the masjid with me. You know, it's farad upon you to fast in the month of Ramadan. MashaAllah, you're a very wealthy person. It's farz upon you to perform the Hajj. You should perform the Hajj as soon as possible. Allah, give us that courage inside us. And Allah, give us that iman inside us, that when we see something that is wrong, we have the courage to stop it. Again, we don't do it. We'll see people openly sinning. But rather than trying to admonish that person, rather than trying to rectify that person, rather than trying to speak to that person, rather than trying to invite that person to the path of righteousness, we turn the cheek. And you know what happens? We also lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. I didn't see it. I didn't see anything. You're lying to yourself by saying this. So if you look at the plains of Karbala, Imam Hussein, what could have he had? What he could have had is unbelievable. He could have had everything in this dunya. They would have given him palaces, they would have given him status, they would have given him wealth, they would have given him life of luxuries for him, not only for him, but all of his family, and that much wealth that it could have gone to his descendants as well. But then the question is, why? Why did he choose the plains of Karbala? Why did he decide to be sacrificed there? Because he wanted to stand up for what is right. He made the ultimate sacrifice. The question that I'm asking myself, and I want you to ask yourself as well, is what sacrifices are we making for the deen? The plains of Karbala taught us the ultimate sacrifice that was made for the deen. Nowadays, we say that we're willing to sacrifice, we're willing to do this, are we? As I've been recently saying, or is it just lip service that we say things but we don't really mean it? But if you look at the lives of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they said something, they meant it. If they said they loved the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than their own lives, they meant it. If they said that they loved the Ahlul Bayt more than their own lives, they meant it. If they said that they loved Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, they meant it. And they lived their life practically to show it. But again, where do we stand? Allahu Akbar. You also see in the incident that took place in Karbala, the message that was also given was the tolerance and that the Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu had. And this was again one of the characteristics of this Husseini caravan, of the family of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, that they had this great tolerance, they had this great hospitality, they had this great good behavior, the character that they had. And inshallah, we're going to go to a small break now. And after the break, we're going to talk about some of the characteristics of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and their family. And then I want us to reflect that where do we lie? You know, where is our status when we talk about forbearance, when we talk about hospitality, when we talk about tolerance? Are we as tolerant as we as hospital as Imam Hussein? Because like I said many, many times, these people, these great personalities, they are our role models. They are the people that we should be looking up to. These are the people that we should look up to and say, well, you know, if only I can be like that person. But unfortunately, what we look up to, and I don't even want to say it, but okay, I'll say it. Football players, cricket players, politicians, astaghfirullah, singers and dancers, film stars, we look up to these people and we try to be like them. Oh Muslims, please, wake up before it's too late. If you want a role model, these are the people that should be your role model. The likes of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, the likes of the Ahlul Bayt, the likes of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the likes of our pious predecessors, and ultimately the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are our role models. Allahu Akbar. But unfortunately, we know more about these people that I mentioned earlier on than we know about these pious predecessors. Allahu, please, Muslims, wake up and learn about your pious predecessors. Inshallah, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about now, inshallah, after the break, we'll talk about the characteristics of the Husseini caravan, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu in particular, his characteristics, and hopefully we can learn some lessons from that. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Let us listen to the virtue of the noble prophetic household from the blessed tongue of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated and reported by Sayyiduna Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu. He says, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ I heard the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, أَلَا إِنَّ مِثْلَ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي فِيكُمْ مِثْلُ سَفِينَةِ نُوحٍ مَنْ رَكِبَهَا نَجَى وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا هَلَكَ رَوَاهُ أَحْمَد. It is reported by Sayyiduna Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu that he was holding on to the door of the Holy Kaaba, and he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, Behold, listen attentively. The example of my Ahle Bayt among you is like that of Nuh's ark. Whoever boarded it was saved, whoever remained behind was destroyed. He held on to the door of the Kaaba so that the listeners would realize the great importance of this hadith. And what does it mean? This statement of the Prophet ﷺ. Just as during the flood of Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam, the only means of salvation was the ark of Nuh, in the same way until the Day of Judgment, the only means of salvation is love for the Ahlul Bayt, obedience to them, and following their path. Without obedience and adherence, a claim of love is meaningless. In another hadith, it is mentioned, أصحابي كالنجوم فبأيهم اقتديتم اهتديتم. My companions are like stars. Whichever of them you follow, you will be guided. Thus, the world is like an ocean, and in this journey, one needs both the ship to ride upon and the stars to be guided by. All praise is for Allah Almighty. The Ahlul Sunnah are secure and are upon salvation, for they hold firmly to both the Ahlul Bayt and the noble Sahaba-i Kiram. And those people who have animosity to the noble prophetic household, they have no ship. And those who have animosity to any of the Sahaba-i Kiram, they have no sense of guiding stars. Thus, neither of them can cross this ocean and reach safely. My dear viewers of Madni Channel, this narration provides guidance to the Muslim Ummah, which path you need to stay on. And Alhamdulillah, the Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah is upon that path, where in one side we have the blessed teachings and guidance and love for the prophetic household, the Ahlul Bayt. And on the other side of our, we have the blessed love and the admiration and respect for the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ahle Sunnat kahe bera bar, ashab-e huzur najm hai aur nau hai itrat Rasulullah ki. This means that the Ahle Sunnati wal Jama'ah are secured and are safe in this world and in the hereafter, for they have the love of the Ahlul Bayt and the love and respect for the honorable Sahaba-i Kiram alayhim ridwan. May Allah Almighty keep us firm in our love for these auspicious personalities, and may we remain on this belief and love whilst we leave this world. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Beautiful reminder today. Views of the channel, as we said earlier on, we were listening to the events that took place in the plains of Karbala, but we're also learning about the characteristics of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, and the fact that he had this inside him, that even at that most important time, he stood up for haq, he stood up for truth. Even in that most important time, he still tried to rectify them, to call them to the path of righteousness. Even at that most important time, he still tried to save them. But unfortunately, these wretched people did not listen to him. And so we're going to talk a little bit now about something of his characteristics, about his hospitality, about his, you know, how he would help people as well. He would go out of his way to help people. There's an instance once where a person, he had approximately 20 to 30 camels, but he was poor and he didn't have anything to eat for himself, and he didn't have anything to food to give to his camels as well. So someone suggested to him that, why don't you go to Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, ask him for help. See if there's anything that he can do for you. So he decided to take up this advice. And when he went to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he saw that Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu was sitting there with his servants and eating food. Before I continue with the events that took place, this in itself is one of the characteristics of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, that he's sitting there with his servants. Not with the kings, not with the princes, not with the statesmen, but his servants. He humbled himself and sat with these people. And not only the benefits of that are there to be seen, that one is he humbling himself, but he's putting happiness in the hearts of these people.
Nowadays, we look down at people. Nowadays, we don't give them any credit whatsoever. We look at them and think, well, they're nothing. Let alone eating with them. We don't even want to speak to them. You know, we don't want to go to the house because they've not got a nice house. They've not got a nice living room. They've not got a nice sofa. They've not got... We don't want to go there. Leave them, people. We don't want to associate with them. And again, this is not the way in Islam. If you look, here Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he's sitting with his servants and eating with them. He could have said, okay, you eat. Yeah. Give me my food here. I've got things I need to think about. You know, I've got, I don't want to be eating with you. Bring my food separately. But no, he's sitting down and eating with them. And then here, you know, before we continue with the story, this is a question mark on us as well. Do we show that humbleness and sit with those people that are not as fortunate as we are? Do we show that humbleness and think about those people that are not as fortunate as we are? You know, here in the West, maybe everybody, you know, can afford to eat, to drink. I've got biscuits in front of me. You know, these are all blessings. I've got biscuits in front of me. I've got a cup of tea in front of me. These are all blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal. But there are many places in the world that we visit. A lot of people here in the UK visit the areas of Park and Hind, and they go there and they visit people. Do you not see the poor people that are there? Do you not see the people that are suffering there? Do you not see the people that are struggling there? You know, people, I've seen people that they say, well, no, we never saw them. What do you mean you never saw them? They're there. It's just you put the blinkers on. You don't want to see them. You don't want to see these people that are struggling. And then if you do see them, then you just push them aside. And then unfortunately, this modern trait, and I know I'm going off topic, but there's a modern trait now, that if, for example, you do decide to help poor people, then you say, okay, let's just, you know, are you in the picture yet? Just want to take this picture. And we'll be handing over some money to them, and we want a picture taken as well. And then we'll put it on social media, look, I'm such a generous person, I'm helping people. You know, again, when you do a good deed, who do you want to please? Who are you trying to please? That your social media followers? That look, what a good person I am? Is that who you're trying to please? That's what you'll get. You will achieve whatever you want. So if you want to please your social media followers, then that's what you do. But if you want to please your Rabb, then you don't need this. You don't need these things. So again, we see from Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, in that just one sentence that he's saying that he's sitting there eating with these servants. This event was recorded and passed down to his wife so we can learn from that. But the story doesn't finish there. That person that had them camels, he then thought to himself that, you know, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he's sitting with these people. And because there's quite a few, but there's not going to be any food for me. So he just stood there thinking to himself, what do I do now? And Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu looked at him and smiled. And he said to him, come and sit down with us. Come and sit down with us and eat. Again, a great quality that, you know, you're eating, you've made enough food for four, for six, for eight, and a ninth or tenth person comes along. Sit down and join in with us. This again is the hospitality. This is the hospitality of Imam Hussein, that he sat him down with him and said, you eat with us as well. But then Imam Hussein also realized that he must have come for a reason. You know, he's coming for a reason. He's not just come here, but he must have some reason. So when the food was finished and they ate the food, and Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu then washed his hands, he said to him, why have you come here? Tell me, what is your need? Why have you come to see me? And he said to him, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, I'm struggling. I don't have any food for my camels. What should I do? And Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu said to him, bring them. Bring all your camels. Feed them here. You know, we've got some food. Feed them here. Allahu Akbar. You know, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu wasn't the most wealthiest person in the world. But even if he was, you know, the generosity is there. Nowadays, you see that the wealthy people have no generosity. They don't have, not willing to share whatever blessings Allah Azza wa Jalla. And yes, these are blessings. The fact that I have a cup of tea in front of me, the fact that I have these biscuits in front of me, these are the blessings from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we should be generous with the blessings. Whatever I have got, whatever you have got, has come from Allah. And Imam Hussein relieved this. And it said that when Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu then did this, this person, he was so happy. He said to him, may my parents be sacrificed upon you. By Allah Azza wa Jalla, this generosity is unique in you. The generosity that you have is unique. And it pleased him. And so this person now, he's not only at his own fill, he's not only fed his camels. You know, these are the amazing things, the generosity of Imam Hussein. And it is stated that this is one of the characteristics of Imam Hussein that we need to look at and adopt. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said that Hussein is the inheritor of my courage and he is the inheritor of my generosity. Therefore, he was second to none in generosity. There was no one that was more generous than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no one that was more courageous than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that he is the inheritor of my courage and he is the inheritor of my generosity, then there is nobody After the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is more courageous than Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu, and there is nobody more generous than Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu. This again is a lesson to be learned. And again, you know, before we continue viewers on the channel, you know, what was the inheritance that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind? How much wealth? Have you ever tried to find out how much wealth he left behind? How much land he left behind? How many properties he left behind? Do we know? You're thinking, no, I don't. How many houses did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave behind? How much wealth did he leave behind? How much did the family of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inherit? Allahu Akbar. There's an incident that took place where a person came outside of a masjid and he said that the inheritance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being distributed inside the masjid. So the people rushed into the masjid thinking that we can get some of the inheritance. They all went in there. And they came out and grabbed that person and said, "You said the inheritance was being distributed." And he said, "What is happening inside there?" And he said, there's nothing happening, but there's a study circle inside there in which a person is teaching the deen." And the person smiled and said, "That is the inheritance. That is the inheritance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The knowledge of the deen is the inheritance. So if you want to inherit from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inherit his characteristics, inherit the knowledge of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the inheritance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And so the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, this is what he's inherited from me. He has inherited my courage. He has inherited my generosity. And these are his characteristics. It is stated, we'll talk a little bit about generosity now, inshallah. It is stated that once a person came to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, and he made a complaint about his poverty and starvation. And he said to him, "Sit for a while. Our remuneration is about to come. And as soon as the remuneration arrives, I will let you go after fulfilling your need." A little time had just passed and 5 bags of 1,000 dinars, i.e. gold coins, were presented in the blessed court of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. And this arrived from Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. The messenger humbly said that Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu made an apology for sending you a small amount of money and he is requested to distribute it to the poor after accepting it. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he handed the whole amount of money to the poor man. And he made an apology for the delay, despite of this favor. So he's apologizing to this person. "I'm sorry that I've delayed in giving you this, but here you are." Could he have not kept some for himself? You know, for the rainy day that we all have? He could have. But no, his generosity was whatever he was given, he gave. He gave to the people. In another event, it stated that once Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu passed by a shepherd who was grazing goats. The shepherd came to him, presented him a goat as a gift. He radiallahu ta'ala asked him whether he was free or enslaved. He humbly replied, "Your Highness, I am a slave." He radiallahu ta'ala then returned this goat to him and said, "Your Highness," he returned the goat to him and this person said, "Azul, this is my goat." The shepherd said, "This is my goat." And he accepted the goat then. And then he bought the slave with the sheep and goat from his master and freed him and gave him the sheep and goats as a gift. So this person, he saw Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and he had a goat. Even though he was a slave, he had a goat. But he presented this to Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, and he asked him, "Is this yours to give? Are you a slave or are you a free person?" He said, "I'm a slave, but this is my goat." So he accepted it. But then not only accept, he bought his freedom. He bought all the other sheep of the goats and he gave it to that person as well. Allahu Akbar. The generosity of seeing people, you know, freeing slaves, although, you know, people not in slavery nowadays, in that sense. But people are in the slavery of poverty now. They are struggling, they are in the slavery of poverty. And in them times where the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they freed slaves, then we should also free people from the slavery of poverty. That they are all their lives struggling and they'll never get out of this. So we should help our people and be that generosity inside us. You know, a lot of people that are watching this program right now that are watching here in the UK or in the Western countries, you probably have more money in your house or maybe more money even in your pocket or your purse right now that people have in the bargain than a full month's salary. People over there, the amount of money they earn in a week or a month, you probably got that money in your wallet or your purse right now. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with that wealth. Now I'm not saying to you, you have to give all of that money away. But that wealth, you will be questioned about it on the Day of Judgment. That Allah Azza wa Jalla give you this wealth, what did you do with it? And if you are proud, you can't be proud on that day to answer, "Well, I bought a quarter, I bought a house, I bought a big car, I did this, I did that. You know, I got my children married and I spent £20,000 on each wedding, I did this, I did that." Or on that day, if you're able to say, my Rabb, yes, I did all of them things, but I also helped in establishing the madrasa. Ya Rabb, I did all of those things, but I also helped the poor and the needy. I helped my relatives that were not financially stable. I helped the poor and the needy that I came across. I spent money on the deen. Ask yourself, which question, which answer are you going to be more comfortable with on the Day of Judgment? And without a doubt, you're going to be more comfortable with the answer of spending in the way of Allah, as well, just spending on the poor and the needy. So if you're going to be more comfortable with the answer, why don't you act upon the answer now? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for that time where you can't physically go out there and give the money? Don't wait for that. You know, they say that the best worship is in the youth. The best time to spend your money is when you have it. Not when you don't need it. Oh, I need my money now, so I won't give it. But now you got old. Yeah, you don't need your money now. You've got your house, you've got your car, you've got everything. You don't need any money now. I'll start giving it. Tiga, you'll be rewarded for that. But giving it when you need it. And this is why you see that generally it's the poor people that they spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And again, that is something that we need to develop on our side ourselves. We need to have inside ourselves. We should also help our relatives and the poor with the wealth that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us. Inshallah, we're going to listen to some sayings of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with regards to generosity and sadaqah. But we're just going to take a small break now and go to the hadith of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we're going to talk about generosity and sadaqah, inshallah. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
In this life of ours, we know that we have come from Allah and we are to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody will live eternally. Allah ta'ala is eternal. Allah ta'ala is ever living. We are humankind. We are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a fixed lifespan and then we are to leave this dunya. When a loved one passes away, despite knowing that this was to occur, we still feel emotional because of our strong attachment to that person, because of our memories of that person, because of our relationship with that person. It may be a parent, a child, a sibling, an uncle, an aunt, a grandparent. But remember, even in such difficult moments, when we lose our loved ones, we must stick to patience, cling to patience. Listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, in my sight, the only reward for that person who remains patient when his loved one is separated from him, meaning the loved one's soul is extracted, the loved one passes away, and he remains patient, in my sight, the only reward for such a person is Jannah, is paradise. So what's the reward? Paradise. What do we have to do? Remain patient when our loved ones pass away. We are not to lament, we are not to wail. In fact, we are to instruct others to be patient as well. It's a very difficult time. Of course it is. But when we keep such narrations in mind, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us, will reunite us with our loved ones in Jannah, in paradise, inshallah.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program. And today we're talking about the Husseini caravan, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. We've talked a little bit earlier on about what happened on the plains of Karbala, not the actual fighting or anything, not the actual martyrdom, but the advice that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala gave to the Yazidis on that day. But then also after that, we talked a little bit about the generosity of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, that he would help people that were needy, and the sadaqah that he would do. And I promised you that before the break, we'll give you some hadiths with regards to sadaqah as well. It is stated, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, that a generous person is close to Allah azza wa jalla. Paradise and people are distant from hell. So a generous person is close to Allah azza wa jalla, paradise and people, and they are distant from the hellfire. So it brings you this generosity, giving, spending in the way of Allah azza wa jalla, brings you closer to paradise. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said, there are three things for which I can swear, and I inform you about one of them. Remember, it is the wealth of one is reduced by giving in sadaqah. I swear that is no one is reduced. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, salah is the evidence of faith, sawa is a shield from sins,
And sadaqah erases sins as water erases fire. Allahu Akbar. These are some of the virtues, and we saw with the generosity of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, that when a person came to him in need, and he sat him down, he said, wait, something will come. I don't have anything at the moment to come, something will come. And when the funds came, when the money came, he gave all of it to him. But he didn't just give all of it to him, he apologized to him. Yes, he apologized to that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that there's been a delay in this money coming to me. I'm sorry there's a delay in me helping you. Allahu Akbar. Nowadays when we help people, we want it shown on social media, we want pictures taken, we want everybody there so that everybody knows what a great person we are. We have with us, mashallah, a special guest today, all the way from London, mashallah, Waseem Bhai. Waseem Bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah. Waseem Bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Waseem Bhai, we talk about the events that took place in 61 al-Hijri on the plains of Karbala. We talk about the sacrifices that were made that day, and the fact that there are so many messages there for us, that if we learn from them, the message of the fact of standing up for haq, the message of standing up for truth, the message of sacrifice, the message of ultimate sacrifice. We learn about the characteristics of the Hasanayn Karabayn, we learn about the characteristics of the Ahlul Bayt, we learn about what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about these great personalities, and what we as Muslims, that it is part of our iman to love these people. And so, mashallah, you know, it's such a varied topic that, you know, if I was to ask you on one specific thing, then we could probably talk about that. But I'm sure that, you know, you are free, Waseem Bhai, to let me, you know, to give your views and air your views with regards, a message to the people with regards to the events that took place on the plains of Karbala. If you would, you know, share it with our viewers, inshallah, and I'm hoping that they can benefit from it.
MashaAllah, Khalid Bhai, the event of Karbala, the Husseinic caravan, what can be said about it? Such a remarkable and historic event in the Islamic history, something that serves as a beacon of guidance for all of us, every single one of us. And as you beautifully mentioned, whatever aspect you want to pick about, you want to talk about, you can take lessons from this beautiful event. The hardships, the trials, the testing times, the steadfastness, the perseverance, the passion for standing for haq, every element of greatness can be seen in this historical event, in this caravan, which we can take as a guide for ourselves to lead our lives. When it comes, Khalid, when we look at this event and look at the circumstances, the trials that Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan, they went through, and yet they remain steadfast upon haq. And then when we look at our own selves today, in today's day and age, and compare ourselves to when it comes to stand for the haq, to stand, to be steadfast in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where exactly are we? When we look at Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, in such testing, severe times, when such severe trial was upon them, they still did not miss their salah. Whereas, what is our state? In such Allah testing Allah. Times, even at that moment of time, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu did not forget the Quran. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu still recited the Quran even at that very moment of time. And here Allah. We are, in the most peaceful environment, when we have every luxury that we could have dreamt for, and yet what is our state when it comes to reciting the Quran? Let alone reciting the Quran, do we even know how to recite the Quran? Let alone having the passion to recite the Quran, do we even make those efforts to open the glorious Quran? When was it last time when we opened the Holy Quran? No one is stopping us. No one is blocking the supply of water and food provisions from us. There's no testing times. There's no such trials upon us. No one is stopping us. In fact, there are all sorts of ease and convenience for us. But yet, we're so heedless in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we complain, why do we have troubles and problems in our lives? Whereas, look at Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. And what Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and Ahlul Bayt Athar alayhim ridwan, they did was for the sake of Islam. It was for reviving the Islam, and it was for this ummah of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the purest of the blood, was flown for the sake of flourishing of Islam. They did all that for us. They remain steadfast. But yet, when it comes to us, we don't have time to offer salah. We don't have time to recite the Quran. We don't have time to travel in Madani Qafilas. We don't have time to learn the message of Quran. We don't have the time to learn the basics of Islam so we can practice. All we have time for is to look for the ways through which we can earn money, whether it is halal or haram. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, their seerah, this beautiful event tells us that you want to live, live upon Islam, live upon Haqq, and strive for it. But yet today, it's very easy for us. You see, Khalid Bhai, at that time, what difficult times Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu went through. It's such testing times in the scorching heat of Karbala, when the water supply stopped, everything is stopped, but yet they were not heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not having to face difficult trials with under scorching heat, and we're not told, we're not oppressed, and we're not being stopped from offering salah. We have all the luxuries, everything. We can have fans, we can have ACs, everything. The water is there, everything is there. But yet, we don't offer salah. We don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So over here, we need to ask ourselves, question ourselves, whether we are true followers of Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, who sacrificed everything of his purest of the household for the sake of Islam for us, and where do we stand today?
Simba, you know, as you were saying that, I was just thinking to myself, you know, when you're talking about salah, we see that in this country, a lot of people say, oh, no, I'm not going to read my namaz in that masjid. The heating's not very good. The water's not warm. And we make excuses for not going to the masjid. And in Pak and Hind, in the warmer countries, oh, we're not going to the masjid because the fans aren't very good. The lights out, the electricity's gone at the moment. The AC is not working at the moment, so I'm not going to read my namaz and I'll read it or I won't bother reading it. You know, we make all sorts of excuses. And, you know, even now people, you know, oh, the wuzu facilities aren't good. You should have underfloor heating there. You should have this there. You should have that there. And unless you, you know, nowadays we have to give so many comforts to people to encourage them to come to the masjid. And if you do not provide them comfort, you don't provide the best wuzu facilities, you don't provide the best, you know, masjid area, the best carpet, the best area, the best heating, the best lighting, the best, you know, AC condition, they won't come. And yet you think to yourself that on the plains of Karbala, when not only was the scorching heat there, not only was there no shade there, but they didn't have any water as well. And yet they still, like you said, they didn't miss their salah. So if they did not miss their salah, you know, a question comes, what's our excuse, Wasim Bhai? Why have we become like this? Why have we become so weak that, you know, we find it hard? You know, for us, you know, the greatest battle is getting up at Fajr. Why is it so hard for us to get up at Fajr? Why is it so hard for the Muslims to read their salah? What has happened to us?
And at the same time, Khalid Bhai, it's difficult for us to get up for Fajr, but if you've got an early shift, if we are starting early in the morning, then we don't find it as difficult.
Well, I know, if you got a plane to catch, yeah? I mean, you might say, well, I'm not used to getting up. I sleep during the night. I get up at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock every day. I can't get up in the early morning hours because I'm not used to it. But all of a sudden, you got that one flight where you're going on holiday, yeah, and it's at 6 o'clock in the morning. You have to get up and go to the airport. Then you're up, you're out, you're ready, you're on the street, yeah? You're in your car. And you know, you can. But when it comes to getting in your car and going to the Masjid of Fajr, it's not possible. But when it's getting to the airport to get that flight, you're in your car and you're ready, you're washed, you're changed, you're fresh, you've had your shower, you've done everything and you're ready. But when it comes to the masjid, all of a sudden we can't get out of bed. Allah.
But the mindset, Khalid Bhai, isn't it? I mean, when I have to go work in the morning, when I've got an early shift, I've got a 3 a.m., 4 a.m. start, 5 a.m. start, everything is fine for me. I can get up early, whether my central heating is working, boiler's not working, whatever, I still will get up, I'll get ready, I'll go to work. That's not a problem for me. Same in the summer. But when it comes to salah, all the luxury, everything is there. And how long does it take to offer Fajr? How long does it take? Hardly a few minutes. But yet I'm so heedless because Khalid Bhai is, again, all about priorities. The main priority revolves around the monetary element nowadays. It's all about money. It's all about that materialism that has embedded in our natures that everything is weighed against money. If I'm getting money for it, if I'm getting that luxury, then everything is easy for me. But at the same time, the value of the hereafter, the value of paradise, the value of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu sacrificed everything. That doesn't really mean anything to us. For Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, that was the priority. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hereafter, the paradise, Islam, that these were the priorities for Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu and our noble elders. But for us, the main priority is just money. It's materialism. And this is what basically drives us to be heedless from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what takes us away from the true path of Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu. And even in today's day and age, Khalid Bhai, there are many, many people, many awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do have these priorities, who do prioritize the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For them, it is easy not even to offer Fajr, but to wake up for the Tahajjud. We have the prime example of Amir al-Sunnah in front of us. offering of tahajjud, striving for the religion of Islam, all that is still seen in their character. Why? Because they've prioritized the will and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above everything. And this is where we need to come towards. This is what we need to learn from the event of Karbala, from the seerah of Imam Hussain radiallahu anh, that we need to prioritize the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before anything. And monetary element and this materialism, we need to shun it away. We need to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure before us. Then inshallah, we'll see a remarkable change within ourselves as well.
Jazakallah for giving your time today, Waseem bhai. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, viewers of Madhichan, that was Waseem bhai. And you know, he said, he was emphasizing the fact during that, when he was talking, that we've become very monetary, you know, very materialistic in our lives. And he said that, you know, when it comes to getting up for work, we can get up for work, but when it comes to getting up for fajr, we can't get up. And I was thinking to myself, as he was saying that, you know, if we were to fine everybody £10 every time they missed fajr, let's see how many people miss fajr. Or if we were to pay people £10 for every time they read fajr, let's see how many people read fajr. And again, it's our goals, isn't it? If you're paid to do something, you can get up. If you're fined for not doing something, you'll do it, you know? And so, you know, it's again, it's our goals as well. Like I said, viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Let's watch Ghaneez Fatima, inshallah, and hopefully, not only the kids. You see, these little haki that I made, they're not just made for the kids, but there's a message there for all of us as well. So don't just put it on for the kids and say, there, yeah, watch it, and that's it. Watch it, inshallah, and we can all learn something from it as well. Let's watch this Ghaneez Fatima, inshallah, cartoon. And then when we come back for the few remaining minutes, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ghaneez Fatima, good girl. Ghaneez Fatima, girl. Everyone loves her. She is truthful. She stops the wrong and enjoys the right. Everyone loves her. She is truthful. She stops the wrong and enjoys the right. Ghaneez Fatima, good girl. Ghaneez Fatima, girl. Everyone loves her. She is truthful.
Where's the answer gone? Hold on, let me just shut the window. Bye bye, may Allah protect you. Yay! Wow! Wow, that's wonderful. Once more, let me fly it. Oh, wow, how nice it is. It's so much fun.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, why did you stop recitation of the Quran as soon as he entered the house?
Unity remains in the house by reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, after entering the home. And it brings blessings in the sustenance. Anyhow, I came for a reason. I'm going to put sacred papers in the box. If you have any kind of sacred papers in your room or anywhere, could you kindly get them for me, please?
All right, Brother Ghulam Rasool, I'll just have a look.
Jazakillahu khaira.
Yay! Let me make another one. Huh? Oh no! Raika, what have you done? You ripped so many pages of your notebook. I wasted all of them. Look at this mess. May Allah Almighty forgive us. Raika, this is not nice. It's really bad.
Hold on a sec, sis. Let me explain. This was my rough notebook, which was full. That's why I asked Mum to buy me the new ones. This notebook was of no use at all.
Raika, remember one thing. Whatever we write in our notebook, we need to make sure that we respect it and honor it. Because remember, all those things that become a means of teaching us knowledge, we should give them all a lot of respect. We should make sure that we don't throw them on the ground and waste them and disrespect them in this way.
But sis, there's no hadith or any verse of Quran written on it. It was just a rough notebook.
Raika, whatever we write in our notebooks, regardless of whatever language it is in, we should make sure that we fully respect it. And in particular, we need to make sure that we don't disrespect sacred papers at all in any state.
That's fine, sis. But first of all, tell me one thing.
That what is meant by sacred papers?
Right, all such papers that have the verse of the Quran written on them, or any part of it, or any name of Allah, or a name of any of the prophets, or of the awliya, or any such thing, or any such name. Respecting which is obligatory, meaning first upon us. Every such paper is known as sacred paper.
Astaghfirullah. This is truly really bad. Please forgive me, sis. I'll not do this again in future.
Jazakallahu khaira. May Allah Almighty grant his steadfastness. Ameen.
Thumma ameen. But sis, what is steadfastness?
Okay, Raika, let me explain you what steadfastness means. Steadfastness means to remain firm on any action, work, or intention that you make. Like right now you just said, that you will never do this again, ever in future. So I made a dua for you to Allah Almighty that, may Allah Almighty enable you to remain steadfast on the pious intention that you just made.
Ameen. Sis, what about my notebooks?
Yes, Raika, don't worry, I told Mum about that. She's just making a list of things to buy right now. She will add that in as well.
Jazakallahu khaira.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, here you go.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, where are you taking this?
Raika, I'm going to put this sack of sacred papers in the sacred paper box that we have on our street.
Sis, why not sell these papers to the guy who buys second-hand papers?
No, Raika, I've seen on these papers that there are many respectful and noble words and sacred names written on them. It is not right and appropriate to sell them as you have just suggested.
Did you see? There's Bismillah written on it. We should make sure that we respect these sacred writings. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, the one who picks up such a piece of paper from the ground, which has Bismillahirrahmanirrahim written on it, out of the respect of Allah Almighty will include him among Siddiqeen.
Siddiqeen? What is meant by Siddiqeen?
Raika, Siddiqeen are those people who tread upon the path of the Prophet alayhi wasalam with sincerity.
Instead of doing this to the sacred papers, we should try and gather them and put them in the sacred paper box. And for this purpose, Darwati Islami's boxes of sacred papers are the best option for us. Because they have a proper system in place, from the point of collecting the sacred papers to disposing them respectfully according to Sharia.
Dear children, if you ever come across any such paper on the way, or you see any such thing on your way which contains any sacred words, or any verse of the Holy Quran, or any hadith written on it, then make sure to pick it up. After that, clean it properly and ask an elder person to put them in the available boxes of sacred papers in your locality with utmost respect and reverence. Jazakallahu khaira.
Oops.
Ah.
I'm sorry.
Kaniz Fatima. Good girl.
Kaniz Fatima.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views on the channel, as you know, you're watching Arise and Shine, and today we're talking about the Husseini caravan, and we mentioned a little bit earlier on about the events that took place, what the speech that was taking place, the words that were expressed from Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala on the plains of Karbala. We learnt about the generosity of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. But it's not just Imam Hussein, it's also the whole family of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, that they all had this mindset as well. And it stated that after the events that took place in Karbala, there was a person that was appointed to take the Ahle Bayt back to Medina Sharif. And he was a very pious and righteous person. And he took care of them all of the way. And when they arrived at Madinatul Munawwara, the sister of Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu, she humbly asked that the person took great care of us through this journey. We should also give some reward to them. And Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu, she said that we don't have anything to give to him. The only thing that we have got is our gold. So let's take off our gold and give to him as a gift for looking after us. So they all took off the gold and they went to him and gave him the gold. And they said to him that, I apologize. We apologize. We all apologize that this is all we've got. You know, if we could give you more, we would give you more. But the person being a very pious person, he said that if I'd done it for worldly wealth, if I'd done it for dunya, then this would have been more than enough. You know, this gold that you're giving me would have been more than enough. But I've not done it for the dunya. I've done it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the pleasure of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he handed all
of the gold bug. Again, we learn from this, Piyuzim and Chand, that, you know, whenever someone does a favor to you, then you should express gratitude as well. We see here that, you know, the Ahl-e Bayt, the family, they've just gone through the atrocities, the pain and suffering of Karbala, but still they had this withheld themselves up and they showed their character. You know, and now you think to yourself that, you know, that they had lost the male members of the family. They needed every penny that they could have had, you know, all this wealth, the gold that they had, they needed that. But no, you know, they still wanted to express their gratitude to this person that had helped them. And again, this is a message for us that we also need to express our gratitude. We need to be thankful to people that help us. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who does not thank people does not thank Allah azza wa jal either. You know? So we need to thank people that if people do help us, don't take things for granted. Don't take things for granted just because, oh, well, he should be doing it, shouldn't he? You know, even if your offspring do something that is their duty to do, it's their duty to do certain things, but if you are thankful to them, beta jazakallah. You know, the son will think, well, you know, why are you saying that, Abu? It's my duty to do. But take care. Jazakallah is a dua, do a dua for them, and be humble, be thankful to them. And if people help you or go out of the way, then help them, then don't say, well, it's my right, he should have helped me. You know, and he should have helped me because if you remember last time he did this to me and now he's just returning that, you know, I helped him, so now he's helping me, so what difference does it make? It shouldn't be our attitude. If someone helps you, irrespective of whether you've helped them 100 times, irrespective of when you think it's their duty to help you, irrespective of, you should be thankful to them. This person, he was appointed, it was his duty. His duty was to bring the Ahl-e Bayt back to Madinatul Munawwara. That was his job. But the Ahl-e Bayt was still thankful. And the Ahl-e Bayt gave everything that they had. You know, it's not as if they had an abundance, they had everything that they had. And then on top of that, what did they do? They apologized that we are sorry that this is all we have. But alhamdulillah, he was a pious person. And that piety of that person also is a message for us. The message of that piety of that person is the respect and the love that we should have for the Ahl-e Bayt. That he did it for the love of the Ahl-e Bayt, which is our iman, to love them and to trust them. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the person who treats any of my Ahl-e Bayt well, I will bestow its reward upon him on the day of judgment. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who does good to any of the offspring of Abdul Muttalib in this world, it is compulsory for me to reward him when he meets me on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. And another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stars bring about peace for the inhabitants of the heavens, and my Ahl-e Bayt of the blessed family bring about peace for my ummah as well. Allahu Akbar. You've been watching Arise and Shine. And until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.